Okay, shalom everybody, we're on. We're continuing in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata, on the Talmud Bavli, Masechet Shabbat, Daf Mem Tet, Talmud Bet, 49b. And the Gemara reads as follows. We'll just backtrack a drop. Had Tanan Avot Milachot Arba'im Chaser Achat Keneged Mi. Where do we get the number 39 prohibited labors that are prohibited on Shabbat? Why 39? Why not 38? And why not 40? Amarlu Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama Keneged Avodot HaMishkan. Right, as we've seen, there are 39 different types of labor that were done in the Mishkan. And as we saw, the Mishkan is the antithesis of Shabbat, whereas Shabbat symbolizes God, and everything is godly. And when God constricted himself to create the world, so that is what he did in the Mishkan as well. So that's the first answer that we learned in the past. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan b'Rabbi Elazar, kach amar Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yosi ben Lakunya, keneged milacha milachto umelechet Shabbat Torah, arba'im chaser achat. Okay, here Nomi's trying to get in. Hi, Nomi. We started class already. You can't get in?
No, I don't even see it. I have the one that from last time.
Oh, it's the same link, and when you go in, you just click enter as an attendee. But I'm sorry, we began, The class is being recorded. So just try again.
Okay.
It's the same link as always. Okay, bye.
Same, yeah, bye-bye.
Okay. So the Gemara says, the second opinion of where we learn the 39 forbidden labors on Shabbat is that it says the shoresh, the root, milacha, milachto, umelechet, that root is mentioned 39 different places in the Torah. So, milacha means labor, and that's exactly what's forbidden, and that's how we get the number 39. Okay, Tzvia, can you mute everyone, please? Okay, by Rav Yosef, Vayavo habaita la'asot melachto. We saw this last time, that the Gemara asks, when Yosef came in to do his work in Potiphar's house, miminyanahu olo, is this among the 39 that we counted the word melacha 39 times? Why? Because when Yosef comes to do his work, to do his milacha, there one opinion is that he came to sin with Potiphar's wife, and that was the work that he wanted to do. And if so, the Gemara asks, is that one of the 39? Amar le Abaye velaiti sefer Torah velimni. What's the question? Just bring a sefer Torah and count 39. And if Joseph, his work is one of the 39, so you know that it's counted. And if there are 39 without it, you know it's not counted. So, Milo Amar Rabba Barbar Chanam Rab Yochanan Lo Zazu Misham Ad Sheviu Sefer Torah Uminaum. That, in fact, they brought a Sefer Torah, and they counted. Remember, this is before they had computers. Today you could do it within a minute. But they had to go through the entire Sefer Torah and count how many times the root milacha is found. Now we're going to continue next time whether this work of Joseph is included or not. That doesn't concern Rav Kook tonight, but what concerns Rav Kook is what's the significance of what it says, that they did not move from there until they brought a Sefer Torah and they counted how many times the word Melecha appears. All right, what does that add? Well, you already said that what you should do is count the number of times that the root work appears in the Torah. And the fact that they did it, okay, so say that they did it. But why it is, what's this theatrical drama? They did not leave that place until they brought a Sefer Torah, and they counted one by one by one by one until they got to 39. What is this idea of bringing the Sefer Torah? Rav Kook explains as follows. Paragraph 2. Amar le Abaye, v'leit sefer Torah, v'limni, bring a sefer Torah, and let's count. You know, why are you asking, is Joseph's work, is that considered among the work or not? Just bring a sefer Torah and count. Shloshahem adrachim latarat kol safek. There are three ways of solving every doubt. We have a lot of decisions that we have to make in life. And what Rav Kook is saying is that the three types, the three ways of solving and deciding decisions, is regarding kol safek, regarding all of the doubts, not just regarding learning Torah. What are the three? Kabbalah, mysticism. We'll see how that fits in. Hamechkar, using our logic. And number three, hanisayon, experience. Now, it's interesting, Rav Kook lists the three in the opposite order of what he's going to say is the preferable order. The preferable order is first use your experience. Then, afterwards, use your logic. And only if you can't solve the riddle or the decision, then you can turn to Kabbalah. And again, we'll discuss what that means. B'makom sha'nisayon lo yuchal levarir lanu et she'ilatenu. Sometimes, if experience, life's experience, cannot solve one's doubts, can't answer a certain question, yavo lanu hamechkar le'ezra, that is when you should turn to logic, to analysis. V'yafitz karnei orov drachav akrovim v'arachokim, hakol lefi anose. Every topic has a way of clarifying. But before you clarify with your logic, first use your experience. For example, say somebody is having problems with their children. First thing that you should turn to is your own experience. Before you open up books on how to parent, first go back to your life's experience, because you are the one involved. And even if it's your seventh child, there's a good chance that your experience with your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth child, that will help you. The same thing if you're having difficulty with your spouse. If you've been living for 20, 30, 40 years with your spouse, so you should first turn to your own experiences. You know your husband better than anyone. You know your wife better than anyone. Sometimes you know your wife better than she knows herself. And for sure, my wife knows me better than I know myself. And therefore, it's like the, you know, in halacha, the Gemara tells about circumstantial evidence. The halacha does not accept circumstantial evidence. If somebody sees Reuven yelling at Shimon and chasing him with a knife and yelling, I'm going to kill you, and they both run into a room, and Reuven comes out with a bloody knife, and you go in and you find Shimon stabbed, you cannot say for sure that Reuven is the murderer, because nobody saw it. There's no testimony. There's no witnesses. On the other hand, even if, in the case that we just mentioned, Reuven has a motive, say Shimon really aggravated him, he stole a lot of money from Reuven, it does make a difference if Reuven has a motive. If we saw that Levi actually killed Shimon, and we have witnesses, eyewitnesses, it doesn't make a difference that we don't know his motive. We don't know why he's angry. Nevertheless, that is considered a higher level of testimony, is a higher level than evidence. And the same thing with proving the existence of God. If you want to prove the existence of God, Shalom Tzvi, glad you made it. If you want to prove the existence of God, the best way of doing it is to have people, witnesses, or prophets, who actually testified that there's a certain occurrence that only God could have done. Now, even if you don't understand God, that is a better proof. Testimony, witnesses, is always better than logic. Because even if you understand the motive or you have proofs, it's not as definite as testimony. And the same thing here, if a person has personal experience with their spouse, with their boss, first use your own personal experience before you go and open up how to be a parent or how to get along with your spouse books. Because you know yourself and the things involved. Now, if you don't have experience or experience doesn't answer the question, that is when Rav Kook says, you turn to mechkar. You turn to logic. What is mechkar? It's analysis. It could be statistics, right? That in a certain number of cases, if there are 500, right, to be statistically valid, you have to have 500 cases. And in 500 cases, the outcome was X. So that gives you some idea. You look at probability. You can speak to a psychologist. You can speak to a scientist. Right? It all depends on what the issue is. And obviously, you could speak to a Talmudic scholar. But first of all, before you go to outside sources, first go to your own experience. And then, second best is analysis. Logic. Ubimakom shegama mechkar. What happens if all of the smart people and the experienced people and the books and the statisticians and none of them can answer your question? Then tofia lanu hakabala haneemana misod ele al yesharim. That is when we would turn to Kabbalah. If we can't find a rational answer. But notice, Rav Kook says, when he says talking about Kabbalah, he says from a reliable and straight source. There are a lot of charlatans flying around regarding mysticism. My educated guess is that most of the mystical or Kabbalistic websites are probably charlatans. Because those who teach Kabbalah know that Kabbalah is called Sod. It's secret. And you don't just put it out there on the internet. I know in Hollywood there are a lot of people, Hillary Clinton and Madonna, they study Kabbalah. And where Rav Kook is already saying is you got to be careful. Yes, Kabbalah could be a third place of clarifying issues. But it's not the first and it's not the second. And even when you are going to use it, you got to make sure that it's a legit source, a legit Kabbalistic master. Labia lanu chedvat funot uplaot chokhma. There are ways of how the Kabbalah reveals the hidden wisdom. Now, I'll just give a classic example. When the Lamed Hei, the 35 soldiers of the Haganah were on their way to the besieged Gush Etzion in the 1948 War of Independence, and they were slaughtered on the way. And if I remember correctly, something like 23 of the bodies, I think, were identifiable, but there were like 12 who were not identified. And the parents wanted to know who were their sons. What is their son's body? So they turned to Rotzvi Pesach Frank, and there was really no answer, right? They had some dental records. They didn't have DNA in those days. What Rotzvi Pesach Frank did is he turned to Rabbi Aryeh Levin and asked him to do the Goral of the Vilna Gaon. The Goral is a sort of a lottery, but it's Rotzvi Pesach Frank said he is not on a high enough level to do it. The only tzaddik who is on a high enough level to maybe God will answer him is Rabbi Aryeh Levin. And what he did was, we won't go through all the details, because you can't try it at home anyway, but there's a certain Tanakh that they used, that the Vilna Gaon used to use, and you opened it by chance 7 times, and the 7th time you would count 7 pages, and then 7 columns, and then 7 paragraphs, and then count 7 lines, 7 verses, and then 7 words, and then 7 letters. And where it would come out, that is the answer to your question. Now, this is a Kabbalistic way that Rav Kook, who, by the way, I should stress, Rav Kook was a great Kabbalist. So he's not degrading Kabbalah, but he is saying it is only a third resort, like in the case of the Lamed Hei of the 35, where nobody, there's no other way of verifying the bodies. Aval chalila lanu, Rav Kook uses an interesting term. He says, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, lishtamesh bekoach tzafun, to use hidden wisdom, Kabbalistic wisdom, biyot leo yadenu lachsof et makor yediatenu mikoach galui. Right? If you can solve a halachic issue, or a psychological issue, or a scientific issue, if you can solve it through A, experience, B, analysis, that's what you're supposed to do. Al kein, lo nashit pnu. Panenu limechkar ra'ayoni b'makom sheyesh lanu berur nisyoni pashut. If there is a rational, simple way, like we said, there are two easier ways, so that is the way that we go. V'lamadnu mizeh gamken shelo nachdol mechakor bechol davar asher yad mechkarenu yevienu shama. Anything that logic can clarify, that we have to use our logic to clarify. There are religions, for example, in Christianity, if you want to be a priest, you have to swear obedience, that you're not going to ask questions. We in Judaism believe that every person has not only a right, but has an obligation to use their logic and their intellect, which God gave us. That's what it's there for. And when we talk about Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that learning Torah is the greatest mitzvot, this is what we're talking about. To use the head. The Kuzari talks about how God gave us a lot of different faculties and a lot of different organs and arms and legs. But he says the brain has to be in charge. We make decisions through the brain, through our personal experience, and again, through logic. Bechol davar asher yad mechkarenu yaveinu shama. If you're trying to figure out who to marry, don't go to a rabbi and have him check out the Kabbalistic numerical value of your gematria or his gematria. That is not how you choose a spouse. First of all, you choose a spouse how? By your own experience with him, with yourself. Does it feel good? Does it feel proper? Do you have good conversations? Is there a basic base? Also on your life's experience, going out with other people, how does it feel? Right? That's the first thing. Look at your own nisayon, your own experience. If that doesn't solve the problem, then you can turn to analyzing. What are the factors that I want to look for in choosing a spouse? Now, the first and the second obviously don't contradict, but what Rav Kook is saying is very often, especially Jews, we like to think, and we like to ask questions, and we like to analyze, and Rav Kook is telling us that before you start analyzing and using your logic, first look at your own seichel, your nisayon, your own life experience. Ki b'ma sheyesh makom la'agia bebitcha bekoach echad, lo nitan me'adon kol ha'neshamot shimush lekoach acher be'ikaro. Here Rav Kook is being very, very clear. You are not allowed to use the lower levels of decision before first using the higher levels of decision. A lot of times, again, we like to analyze. Maybe the best example is when you're sitting in yeshiva and you're trying to understand the Gemara. And you understand it one way, and you're learning partner, your chevruta understands it another way, and you're arguing. And somewhere along the line, one of the two will probably say, hey, why don't we get up and ask the Rebbe? Why don't we ask the Rabbi? And very often, our answer is, no, let's try and figure out ourselves. Now, there is room for that, but eventually, if there is somebody who has more experience than you do in learning, or especially learning this particular issue, first gain from experience, your experience, somebody else's experience, before you start breaking your head and trying to invent the wheel. You don't have to invent the wheel. Okay. So, we continue. Maybe just one other point on this idea. Somebody may have thought that going straight to God would be the best issue. If we have a Kabbalist, who we can ask, who should I marry, what should I study? Rav Kook is telling us no. That mankind, as we've learned many times, has matured. And just like the individual is constantly maturing and learning from his mistakes, there's a reason why God stopped prophecy. Right? When there were prophets, we would just go to the prophet and get our answers. But just as the child needs to learn independence, and we teach our children as they grow older and older how to cross the street themselves, how to learn things on their own, how to make decisions, that's what growing up is about, so too mankind, we have arrived at a level that God does not want us to use Kabbalistic or even prophecy, but we're big children. We are meant to try and solve these issues ourselves. Okay, let us continue in paragraph bet. Omnam. Hasfeikot bedivrei Torah hema nichbadim lanu. Bein mitzad etzem yediatam, bein mitzad ishtadlut atzma, shemachnisim otanu ishtadel yoter ba'amala shel Torah. It's difficult, if we take the example of learning Torah. By the way, everybody sees where Rav Kook is going, right? When they wanted to know where do we learn the 39 works, labors, prohibited labors on Shabbat from, and it was brought down the opinion that we learn it from the word milacha, milachto, 39 times. And then the Gemara asks, well, is Yosef one of the 39? Yosef's work, is that one of the 39? And the Gemara says, well, don't be lazy. Bring a Sefer Torah and count. Even if it's going to take you a couple of days, that is the way to solve a Sfeikot. Okay? So here also, sorry? Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll just mute everybody.
Okay.
So we are in paragraph bet. Again, Omnam asfeikot bedivrei Torah hema nichbedim lanu beimitzad etzem yediatam, knowing, actually knowing the Torah from the beginning to the end, the more, the better you know it, the better. Bein mitzad ishtadlut atzma shehem machnisim otanu ishtadel yoter b'malah shel Torah. The second aspect of Torah is to work hard and to analyze and to understand. And that's the second aspect of learning Torah. Al ken tzrichim anachnu lizaher libli nomar. Here Rav Kook is spelling out. What should we not say? What do people have a tendency to say? Or what's called in Aramaic, Ahave Amina, what might I have thought? Kevan sheishtadlut be'atzma, hitachlit na'a, being that struggling with a topic, especially learning Torah, is an ideal unto itself. Break your head. Na'e alkein lama nechapes lanu drachim akalim kederech hanisayon. Why should we, look for an easy way out? In other words, if we ask the Rebbe, if we ask the teacher, we ask the rabbi, that sounds like an easier way out. And some people will say, well, maybe it's better to learn how to break my head and do it myself. Those people will say, well, it's good to break your head and to learn it for yourself, logically, with your own analysis. Says Rav Kook, Zoti ta'ana me'ever echad. You can understand the logic on the one hand. V'yesh mi sheyuchal liton, On the other hand, somebody can say, Kevan she tovai nachalat uman ve'emunat chachamim, al kein navo lekabel et hapitaron bekabbalah. Maybe let us ask the Kabbalists for their opinion. And here we see that Rav Kook is saying that sometimes asking your rabbi is davka not the best way. That first, if you can yourself count the number of times the word melacha appears in the Torah, that really is better, to learn for yourself. But there, if you count for yourself, you don't have the danger of making a mistake in analysis. And that's why second best is to analyze it, but eventually analyze it together with a teacher, with a rabbi, and only third best is just to ask for the tradition, or the Kabbalah. Paragraph Gimel. Omnam. Lo ze velo ze yitzdeku. Those people who first try analyzing themselves, and or those who turn to Kabbalah, this is not the way to learn. Kirak b'makom she'en ha'emet ha'nisyonin nachon lefanenu. Only if you can first use your own experience to understand it. What would be your own experience? In this example, we see count the number of times the word melacha appears. Is it 39 or 40? That way you know to count Joseph's work or not. But there's another example would be Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Briska Rav. He taught different mindset, terms that help us think logically in rabbinical study. For example, Heftza Gavra. Most people who have learned the Talmud know that certain issues, you see the obligation is on the object. Other times, the obligation is on the person. For example, lighting Hanukkah candles. Is the mitzvah to light for the person to light the candles? That would be on the gavra, on the person. Or is there a mitzvah that Hanukkah candles should be lit in your house? And the truth is, this example is good because both aspects are true. And this is just an example of how using certain mivnim, certain frameworks that exist, this is a type of experience that can help us in our study. Once you use this type of framework, az yetze pri toelet meishtadlut levakesh etza mimerchak, then only afterwards does it make sense to start using your rational, your logical logic. Va'aza ishtadlut mitzad atzma mishubachati. And that is when only at the second stage is it good to use books and to use statistics. But first of all, use your experience and if you can verify the facts for yourself. V'chochal chanlev yavin ki yesh kan sod Elohi. Sheishira avodat iyun zot leperek ze uleishim halalu. God definitely wants man to use his logic. But, as we see, before you get to using your intelligence, your IQ, there's a Seder. First, use certain, the frameworks that you are familiar with in halacha from your own experience. And again, let's give a more practical day-to-day example. If you're having an argument with your spouse, before you go and talk to a psychologist or a marriage counselor, first, you analyze it. You know your husband better than the psychologist does. You know yourself better than the psychologist does. You know different arguments that you've had in the past, and you also know how you've solved them in the past. And again, in all types of decisions, first rely on yourself and your experience, and only afterwards turn to outside people. אבל כשיש מקום לבוא אל המבוקש על ידי ניסיון, לא השאירה כאן העצה האלוהית דרך להשפעה רעיון מצד כוח הספק, שיבוא רק מרפיון ידיים ועצלות. Here, Rav Kook brings in another factor, and that is beware of laziness. For example, in the case that we're talking about in the Gemara, where the suggestion was, well, why don't we just count how many times the word malacha appears in the Torah? Let's just count. And we, who have computers, we don't realize how much time and effort used to have to be wasted on this dirty work of just counting, and you're not learning, you're just counting the words. And Chazal are telling us, no. They actually went, and they brought a Sefer Torah, and counted themselves. Because when you know, I just saw an interesting question. There's a Tosfot, a difficult Tosfot, a Masechet Ketuvot. And the Achronim say, also the Mordechai, Zarishon, he says that this Tosfot is a mistake. So I saw recently maybe I'll mention it, some of you know the sugya, Reb Chaim Cohen and Tosfot, says that there is no mitzvah to live in the land of Israel today. And the Mordechai and many others jump on him and say, what are you talking about? That's just a mistaken opinion. And somebody asked Rav Avadya Yosef, is there anywhere else in Tosfot where there are mistaken opinions? And he said, go ask Rav Chaim Kanevsky. Now, we know Rav Avadya Yosef had a photographic memory, but it shows you his humility, and also shows the greatness of Rav Chaim Kanevsky, of the story that we just saw. Maybe I'll just tell a similar story of how you can ask a Rebbe, but the Gemara is saying first, no, it's better to do it yourself. No, we don't have time for the stories. Anyway, let us go on. So the factor that Rav Kook is saying here is don't be lazy. Don't say, well, maybe I'll just ask my Rebbe. He counted the number of times, and I'll take his word for it. Rav Kook is saying that is not the way to learn Torah, and also that's not the way to make decisions. Yeah, it might be that Sigmund Freud might have more experience in life than you do, but he doesn't know you, and he doesn't know your husband, and he doesn't know your boss, he doesn't know your children. So first, you rely on your own experiences. Okay? Even better than going to a know-it-all rabbi. Al-Kain, paragraph Dalid. Gam im yomar adam lishtamesh bezeh bederech hamechkar. Even if a person who wants to use Kabbalah as a way of analyzing, lo yatzliach, it's not going to work. Ve'anafim ha-sichliim she'yitzu mizeh lo yu netuim al palgei mei Torat emet. I saw an interesting story that George Bush Sr., maybe it was Ronald Reagan, some Republican, religious Republican president, saw this book about the hidden codes in the Torah. Are you all familiar about the hidden codes in the Torah, where you count 50 letters, and then another 50 letters, and another 50 letters, and you get the answer through this hidden code? And the rabbis, even if you believe in these hidden codes, we do not use these type of Kabbalistic ideas, not in terms of learning, and not in terms of halacha. Only if there is no rational halacha. I'll also mention parenthetically that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, for example, on this issue, he differed with Rav Avadya Yosef, where Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, a Sephardic Posek, it wasn't uncommon for him to turn, when there is no rational, regular halachic source, he turned to Kabbalistic source. Rav Avadya did it much less. And most halachic authorities do it even less. And that is the direction that Rav Kook is going. Again, Rav Kook was one of the greatest Kabbalists of his time. Nevertheless, he's saying, that is only a last resort. Al-Kain, Kasher HaSeichel, we're in paragraph Dalet. Kasher HaSeichel, Po'el et Pu'ulato B'malach Tmidi, Ein ra'ui la'achro me'uma. If a person's logic is functioning properly, you should not push it off. Don't go to Kabbalists and try to figure out through the gematrias of your name who you should marry or who you shouldn't marry. By the way, I know Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who was for sure one of the greatest Kabbalists of our generation, when he heard that there was a rabbi down south who would tell people to get married or not to get married, and he even broke up marriages based on the gematrias of their name, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu said, you are not allowed to go to that rabbi for anything, because he's not using Kabbalistic sources in the proper time and in the proper place. When you're choosing a spouse or you're trying to save a marriage, again, first, experience. Second of all, ask the specialist or use your logic. And only third, if there's no other choice, that is when you turn to Kabbalah. Liman lo yivne et siura ben kach al yesod ra'ua, ki im levararo bo toa birura muchan lo lefi inyano. Right? Whether it be your experiences, whether it be on your rational and logic. Al ken, kan, she'anisayon yuchal levarera she'ela. In our case, where how many times is Melacha mentioned in the Torah, and is it 39 with Yosef, or is it 40 with Yosef's labor, counting that as one of the 39 labors or not? What do you do? Laiti Sefer Torah Vilimni. Bring a Sefer Torah, even if it's heavy, even if it's going to take you a couple of days to sit down and count how many times the word appears. We should not be scared of difficult solutions. Lo zazu misham ad sheviu sefer Torah umna'um. That is what the Gemara is telling us. That in fact, that is what they did. They brought a sefer Torah and they sit for probably days to count how many times the word melacha appears. Does it include Joseph's labor or without Joseph's labor? Laraot chavivut ha-me'ora she'viat ha-birur ha-nisyoni ha-vada'i, to show that the rabbis dafka were happy with, they weren't lazy, they were happy to go. And not only did they say, we should bring a Sefer Torah, it says they did go and bring a Sefer Torah, and they sat down and counted, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., etc. Ulahorot leval nitan lesechel itasek b'tziurim shelo notzru ba'ado. And the Gemara here is telling us that we should not use different powers when they are not meant to be used. Kevan sheyesh berur galoy, if you can use a rational approach of your experience and then your logic, don't use Kabbalah. Imrot Hashem amarot tohorot, kesef tsaruf ba'alil la'aretz. Just like those who were in the class on Leil Shavuot, here too Rav Kook finishes off a paragraph with a beautiful new and novel explanation of this pasuk in Tehillim. By the way, if you look in the Dat Mikra classic explanation, it just says Kashel Lefarsho. This verse is very difficult to understand. But based on what we learned, Rav Kook is explaining it. How's he explaining it? Imrot Hashem, the words of God, Amarot Tohorot Kesef Tsaruf. They are, kesef tsaruf is purified silver. You have to purify it, you have to analyze it, turn it upside down with your logic, and that is the way ba'alil la'aretz, and that is the way that you come out and bring clarity to the world. In short, to summarize, Rav Kook is not saying that there is no room for Kabbalah or mysticism. What he is saying is that when you're making life decisions, don't be lazy, don't look for the easy way out. First and foremost, use your own knowledge and experience of yourself and the topics involved. Second of all, afterwards, analyze it using statistics, using psychologists, using doctors and scientists, and speaking to the specialists. And only if there's no other solution, that is when you turn to mysticism.